This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to this Twin Peaks Investing podcast. A very Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you for joining us again. It's just myself and Henry at Henry Viola here at HD Viola, and it's me, Peter Higgins at Conquest3 on Twitter. We've decided to do this one for you guys, ladies and gents, because we know that you're probably sitting there, you know, a bit like Henry, you know, filled up to the rafters with food and still carrying just the remnants of maybe an hangover because you've not stopped drinking for the past 7 days. So this might give you a little hour's break betwixt your next drink and pie and pudding and pieces of chicken and turkey. Henry, how's it been, mate?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Peter. I've had a very nice Christmas. I was down in Poole with the in-laws. We ate, we drank, we danced, we sang. I lost at darts very, very badly. Well, actually, I say I lost. Steve carried me, so we were playing doubles. I was playing terribly, and Steve was playing very well, and we just about balanced out and managed to win the match 4-3. So take of that what you will.
Okie dokie. That's family love for you there if he's carrying you, mate, because sometimes you go, you know what? I'm looking around the pub for a substitute going, I'm not carrying this guy any longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was not my finest hour. I'm usually passable at darts thanks to Steve's intensive coaching. And this time it was bad. It was really bad.
Okie dokie. Well, I did say I was going to mention pies on this podcast, I think 2 weeks ago. I was investigating them. I've actually found the best, well, I think the best mince pie. Some people go absolutely, you know, abhorrent pies, but there are two I've got here, right? And some people say, well, that's not really a mince pie, Pete, but it is a mince pie, right? First one is Taste the Difference from Sainsbury's. I'm doing a bit of brand marketing for Sainsbury's here now. And it's a cherry and kirsch mince pie. So it's got like a cherry sauce to it. It is so rich. It's intoxicating, mate. You know? So I can only manage one at a time of these, right? But I have stocked up. So this is what I'm going for here. And then the second one, it's a frangipan mince pie, mate, from Sainsbury's. Oh, my heavens. Ladies and gents, if you've still got chance, if you haven't tried these yet, nip into Sainsbury's, mate, and have a look. Have a little buy of these little bad boys. You won't go wrong. But if you buy one packet, you might as well buy two because you'd be like, I've got to go back out and get another pack now. Yeah. So those are my little foodie treats for you, ladies and gents. Let's get down to some business. Let's talk about where the markets is at, right? We've spoke in the last podcast, 116, about the fact, are we not going to be embracing a Santa rally? We saw the S&P 500 and everything else accelerate after the Fed came out and made their announcement, and Biden said, you know, we want to push the markets higher to make everyone happy. And the markets have carried on since then, on and off. Yesterday, the FTSE was up. I think where we ended up yesterday, it was about, we had a high mid-morning at 7,759. That was after a low of 7,697. Today, the FTSE prepped up again, well, ended up creeping up or almost flat today. Finished off at 7,23. I've got these stats because I've just got them before the market shut fully. So we've finished off on the 28th at 7,723 on the FTSE 100, which is a damn sight better than we were 2 weeks ago. You know, lots of people have been putting out the reviews regarding their year-to-date performances last Friday because they've had such a bit of a rally on their stocks. Some of them we've not seen for 3 months, 6 months, nearly a year, but they're back. Let's not say any more about that. FTSE All Share today closed at 4,227, just down 0.03%. FTSE AIM, respectable 763, up 0.1%. So that's done really well since we talked about it going sub 700 a couple of months back. So at the moment, it's looking reasonably good regarding what we class as a rally. We've got tomorrow as well, haven't we? So we'll see what
Half a
happens
day,
regarding
isn't it?
the very, very last trading day of the year tomorrow. So if you've had a little boost since November and the last couple of weeks in December to your portfolio, very, very well done. But I will caveat this and say this to you, and I've said this every year, multiple times in the year. The only person you're competing against is yourself. Have a look at how your portfolio performed in 2022 and how has it performed in 2023. Have a look at the stocks that you held in 2022 and didn't do so well. Have a look at the ones that didn't do so well in 2023 and try and reflect and learn from those and not repeat the same mistakes in 2024. Don't take any notice of the numbers of and percentage performance reviews from other people. Some of them have got minus 10%, 15%, 20%. Some people have got plus 10, 15, 20%. It means nothing to you, right? What matters is how you performed with your hard-earned money and the actual factual analysis regarding your stocks that you own. You haven't got a Scooby-Doo whether these people own these stocks, whether they bought the stocks or sold the stocks or whatever. So review your portfolio accordingly, not measuring it against anybody else's portfolio or what they've said their review performance is year to date, because that is meaningless. Okay? Don't critique somebody about how they've done or how they've not done. Just review your own analysis regarding your portfolio. And that way you could accelerate your growth and your learning by acknowledging what you did really well in 2022 and 2023, and what you didn't do so well in 2022 and 23, and therefore you can improve. Henry,
I think you're
any
spot
thoughts?
on there, Peter. I mean, I'm in the middle of writing, well, I say in the middle of, I've just finished my annual review for 2023. So we've got half a trading day tomorrow, which I don't think is going to make a substantial difference to me. And it looks like I'm probably down about 2% for the year, which, I was down 11% last year, down another 2% this year. It is hard going. And I keep saying this on the podcast. I've found it tough going the last 2 years. The Santa Rally has been nice. It's some years we get one, some years we don't. It's been a nice boost. But to me, by this point in the year, your performance is what it is. I'm now looking at the front end of next year. And my review is looking at the first 6 months of 2024 and trying to figure out, what do you want to do with your portfolio? Do you want to swap things? Do you want to sell things? Do you want to buy a bit more of something? Are you happy with where your sector allocations are, your country allocations? Have you actually even considered any of those? Because quite often I find, I get to the end of December and I look at my portfolio and I've got a collection of things and think, why am I holding all of these? I can't even remember anymore. When I started 10 years ago, I would quite frequently get to this stage and be asking that sort of question. Now, it tends to look the way I want it to look because I'm thinking about my portfolio as I go through the year in a different way. But in terms of, comparing yourself to other people, I totally agree. I mean, anybody that reads my blog, you don't know when I'm buying something or when I'm selling it, or even if I am. I'd like to think I'm a trustworthy, well, I am a trustworthy person. That's not so I'd like to think. But you don't actually know when I'm placing trades. And so, anybody that's sitting trying to get the same return as me, it's just not going to happen. You can't do it. So be reflective. Use your annual review as an opportunity to look at your own performance and consider your own approach. And maybe you get some ideas from other people about how to improve next year. But I would take it as a self-learning opportunity as opposed to a, oh dear, I didn't get 4,000% and Joe Bloggs 900 did.
Absolutely agree. Can I just ask you just to tweak your volume just a little bit for us, Henry, upwards? But you're absolutely spot on.
Yeah, is that
I agree
better?
with you. I think it's going to be important Because I said this last year, and I got proved wrong towards the end of the year that 2023 was going to be a difficult year. I'm up to late September, October time. I think I was right. And I just suspect we're going to see more profit warnings next year from companies that have struggled with this higher interest rate environment. Interest rates are coming down. The suspect is going to be lower again next year. Inflation is coming down. I think some of it might just stop falling as well during 2024. So some companies, we mentioned this before, that need to refinance some of their debt may find it more difficult. So we'll see. I suspect it could be a difficult year, depending on what's going on. But we've got general elections or elections in the US and the UK. So, there might be some spicing of the markets via various parties to try and get the electorate to think, oh, actually, things are looking up, or things are better for us via the stock market and the pensions. So that may counteract all of the recessionary sort of environment that we might be in. Who knows? We will definitely see how that goes. Right, I'm conscious that I'm getting a little spot of what do you call it here, saying that my internet is playing it up, so I've just had to reduce the bandwidth there on something. Right, Henry, would you like to start with a stock, mate, that you think might do reasonably well in 2024 and beyond? Because the research that I've been looking at recently said that it was going up. I think it was up to July of 2022, the holding period. This is for S&P 500 stocks. And I suppose it's pretty similar for FTSE and AIM stocks. Is down to less than 6 months. That's the holding period. So these long-term investors who allegedly hold stocks forever, I'm buying this forever. It's forever stocks. Go to sleep stock. It's 6 months, folks. Yeah, which frustrates me because I
Wow.
see articles and people commenting about multi-baggers, 10-baggers, 100-baggers. So if you see anyone in 2024 talking about multi-baggers, 10-baggers, and so on and so forth, please just ask them which stocks in their current portfolio they've held the longest. Second part of the question, which ones have they held the longest without trimming or selling any of their shares? And you'll be very surprised that most people have held that stock for 3 years or 4 years without messing with it or trimming it or whatever. It's very rare that anyone holds a stock for more than 5 years these days, but the average is 6 months. It's staggering. Go, sir.
Lots of energy for very little return. So I've been having a look at the house builders actually. Last couple
Okey-dokey.
of weeks, interest rates look like they're starting to top out. There's been a little bit of a rally in the UK market, and we've got a huge shortage of housing in the UK. So the share I want to talk about today is one that quite a lot of our listeners will know. It's Taylor Wimpey. The ticker's TW. UK-based house builder. And what attracted me to Taylor Wimpey was their really the quality of the business. House building in general operates on it's got a return on capital of about 16%, which is higher than its peer group. It's a good 5% higher than Barratt or Berkeley or Bellway or Crest is on a return on capital of about 3%. Which is shocking to me because, like I say, my knowledge of the house building industry is that they've generally got quite good returns. So, quite what's going on with Crest, I'm not sure. Likewise, good healthy operating margins. And the business to me looks like a good, well-diversified company. It operates across the UK, market cap of about £5 billion. And I've got a feeling that. It's been on a bit of a tear in December. The price has shot up. But if someone's looking to get into house builders, I suspect they might pull back a little bit in January if we have some people taking some profits off the table. But it could be a time to start loading up on the house builders. I wouldn't overweight them necessarily. But I think they've got potential to do quite well in 2024 and 2025 because I think the market has priced in. Rising interest rates crippling the mortgage market and crippling the exchange of houses. But I don't think that's going to happen to the extent that people think it will. People still need housing. There is still a shortage of housing. And new build homes, they tend to be quite attractive. You know, they've not got the problems that older properties have got with them. They're built to a consistent standard in a nice area. The area is well maintained. You've got a reputable business that's built the thing. And, you know, we've seen the headlines with there being quality issues with some of the new builds, but I don't think that that is going to put off all of the buyers. I do think that these large firms will continue to build and sell substantial quantities of houses. And so for me, Taylor Wimpey is one that listeners might want to go and have a look at in 2024.
Cool. Yeah. It's a quality company. The one I've always veered towards in that space is Persimmon. And I mentioned that back in, I think it was pre-summer, and I was basically saying, you know, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. The shares are going to go to sub £10. I've just pulled up the chart here now, and they ended up with a 52-week low of £9.25. And since the interest rates appear to have peaked, they started rallying basically mid-November, mid-October, latter part of October. And the shares are currently sitting at the moment from 925 low achieved during the summer at 1383. So it's already moved up a good 40 odd, near 50% move. I suspect if you're right and interest rates are have peaked and they get any sort of good wind during 2024, and the government that wants to stay in says, oh, we're going to help them a little bit more again with some sort of different slant on Help to Buy or any sort of things that boost housing construction. Taylor Wimpey and the rest of them will all get a boost, mate. They've done ever so well since their lows that were achieved in October, November time. And they've already started moving, Henry. So I think you could be right there with Taylor Wimpey. I think you could do quite well. And Taylor Wimpey, yield wise, what did you say the yield was on that one?
It's on a 6% yield, I think it is 6.3%.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well,
And
given the banks
that
have
is
already peaked
covered as
there.
well. That's covered more than 1.5 times, 1.6 times covered.
Yeah, so
So
better than the banks at the minute. The banks are paying a little bit, you know, for a very short window. They've already started decelerating. They're paying on interest in the banks, so 6%. With the chance of a minimum of 4% capital gains going forward over the next 12 months. And I suspect if they do get a rally going on with Taylor Wimpey, you'll get far more than 4%. So that's a good 15, 20% you could get by buying a house. Buy the stock rather than having a house where you've got to pay for all the utilities and renting it out with all the miscreants that could be renters, you know? Who wants to be a landlord these days, you know? I won't say that because I know Jared will be listening to this. Merry Christmas, Jared. Sorry. And all the other landlords out there, by the way. Oh dear. Right, I'm going to talk about well, I keep saying these are behemoths, and they are behemoths versus what we've got in the UK. Most of you, ladies and gents, will know about this company already. Basically, it's a massive cloud AI technology networking security company. And it acquired, not much talk about this in the UK because it's a US stock, but it spent 28 billion, or it's about to spend acquiring a company for $28 billion, right? So that would be all news across our network if it was a UK company getting acquired for 28 billion, but we're not even talking about it. But Cisco acquired a company called Splunk, basically to form and enhance the global security leadership that Cisco have. And essentially, it's going to give Cisco $4 billion in recurring revenue on top of already their massive scale of revenue that they've got. And I think it was today they decided to make another purchase of a smaller company. And basically, Isovalent is a team. Teams basically looking at all the development side of cloud and the network security side of cloud. So that's another 650 million, which is small change to them, obviously. Company is, as I said, 204 billion market cap, P of 15, tiny little yield. As an AI related company, it's done diddly squat all year, up about 5 to 6% year to date. I am of the view, and I'm getting into all this AI as I have been for the last, that seems like 10 years now since I started mentioning AI. This just got left behind by the likes of Nvidia and all the rest of it. So I suspect if they can integrate, bed in Splunk and all the other bits and pieces that they've bought over the last few years, that they could do quite well in 2024 and beyond. Probably 10 years ago, they were about the same size as Nvidia. Nvidia's now absolutely trounced them since then. So that's my US research idea. You should all know about Cisco already and all the different things that they do. So I'd go away and have a look at them. You know, 204 billion market cap. Revenue for 2022 was 51 billion. You know, massive revenue of a company. So that's one I would say have a look, and it even pays a dividend as a tech company. So anyone that's looking for a dividend share as well, have a look at Cisco. Have a look and see what happens. The compounding ratio is not that great, but anyone that can generate 51 billion in revenue should be able to squeeze a bit more margins out, I think, going forward. They've added another 4 billion in recurring revenue, which takes it to about 54, 55. I think it'd be all right, you know, unless there's a massive issue comes up. I think Cisco should do okay for the next few years if you wanted to buy it and hold it and forget it. Thoughts, Henry? I see
It
you
is
looking
a,
and go, you know.
yeah,
Any
it is
thoughts?
a very high quality company. You know, lovely returns on equity, lovely operating margin, you know, 25% plus for 10 years. Nice dividend as well, 3%. That's very rare with US tech stocks. If you look at Microsoft, it's on, you know, 0.1% or whatever ludicrous value it is. The bit that gets me with Cisco, I know them for networking kit,
Of
and
course.
I don't know how much of a moat they've got. I don't know whether they are must-have technology that, you know, if you've got a data center, you're going to have a Cisco switch in it, and that's the end of the conversation, and everybody's got one. Or whether it's you could have a Cisco switch, or you could have one of 100 competitors. And there's very little difference. And to me, that's the query, because when I think about these big US tech firms, you know, forget the software companies like Microsoft, but the hardware firms, if you go and look at Intel 15 years ago, everybody was saying Intel was must have great chips. You know, if you wanted a computer chip, it was an Intel chip, and that was the end of the conversation. Now, people wouldn't touch them with a barge pole. They couldn't defend that moat that they've got at all, and Nvidia's snuck up, and now, you know, Intel's been left in the dust. And for me, that's the question about Cisco. I don't know what the industry thinks about the technology that they produce, and that will drive what happens to their revenues going forwards. Looking at the forecasts, they are forecast to continue growing strongly. They did net profit of about 12 billion in 2023. That's forecast to grow to 16 billion by 2025. So, you know, that's 158% increase from 2018 when they made just 110 million. It's quite astonishing figures, but they've got to be able to deliver and follow through on that.
I agree with you. I think this is one of the problems when you get companies of that sort of size. People think they're always going to be the leaders forever. And there's far too many innovative companies now that are coming out and challenging the ones that were what we call the incumbents. So that's why they're moving more and more into the AI side of things and software side of things. They're having to make purchases, you know, to keep up the growth, to maintain their growth even. And they've just, like you say, just spent 28 billion on Splunk, buying some of the little bolt-ons as well. They're trying to enhance the whole delivery of systems that they possibly can. So I think a lot will depend on how well they deal with integrating in Splunk and making sure that they maximize the synergies regarding that. And they could do well if they get that integration wrong, or it takes too long to start getting the revenues out of Splunk. I think they could struggle, but they've been there before, they've done it before. That's why I'm thinking it could be reasonable. that they do reasonably well over the next and it's not something to buy and hold for the next 3 months or 6 months. It's 3 to 5, maybe longer years for them to get everything up. Because I suspect that they're a bit miffed, you know, watching Nvidia that was sitting there toe to toe with them 5, 10 years ago, having just gone like that,
Yeah.
you know, 15, 20 fold since they were at the same market cap, you know? So, yeah, I suspect they'll want to catch up. So,
Spot
if
on.
management can execute, then I think they'll do okay.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing Podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Okie dokie, mate. We can either take a break here and I can talk about the fundraise, or we can go on to your next stock. It's entirely up to you.
Why don't we talk about the fundraise?
Okie dokie. Right. We've had a really, really good push, guys, ladies and gents, and I'm really, really chuffed to tell you that we're sitting at the moment at 3,410, excluding gift aid. We've had some very generous donations in the last 2 weeks from various individuals, and I'll read a few of them out here. I'm hoping that you can support us in the last couple of weeks, where I'm after we've done this and concluded it all for the year. I'm going to be handing over the reins to Henry, for him to choose a charity of his or whatever he what one he wants to support, and we're going to support Henry's charity in 2024. But this one for Memphis, you go to the Just Giving page, which is www.justgiving.com/fundraising/TwinPeaksChallenge23. Had Steve Cook, the Alpha ISA chap, on Twitter, and he wrote, "The Alpha ISA has had a great 2023, so only fair to pay it forward with a donation as thanks for all your Wheelie, Henry, and Alex's efforts on the Twin Peaks Investing podcast and Investing Matters pods. Happy New Year." And Steve donated £100 plus £25 gift aid. So, Steve Cook, thank you
Wonderful.
ever so much.
Wonderful.
Had Marcus 4 days ago, wishing everyone a very happy and healthy Christmas. Keep up the good work on the fundraising, entertaining and educating. And Marcus donated £50. Child of the 70s, I'm sure he's done multiple donations thus far already, but thank you again. Thanks again, Peter, Henry, and Alex for the podcast. I really enjoy listening to these on my commute and appreciate the personal time and effort it takes to put these together. All the best, Neil, and donated £10 and £2.50 gift aid. Again, same amount that Raj Ramira donated. Thanks, Raj. Hey, it's very personal here, isn't it? Hey, Peter, Henry, and Alex. Thanks for the time and effort you all put into these brilliant podcasts. Unfortunately, due to big losses and losing 25% of my portfolio, I'm hoping for a better new year. We wish you well, Raj, and hopefully the portfolio's had a boost since you wrote that out, and have another good, have a better 2024. I'm not sure who this is, but left a name or letters of AMH. Really enjoying the podcast. Keep up the good work and donated £10. So thank you, AMH. Sion, I think we've replied to Sion on Twitter. Reply to you first, I think, Henry.
Yes.
Very, very generous words here. Peter, Henry, and Alex, thanks for the pod. Listen on the way to work every 2 weeks. Like the new format with Henry and Alex. But an update from Weedy as a special guest in 2024 would be good. Sion donated £25 and £6.25 gift aid. JT. So thank you, Sion, for that. And we'll see if we can get Weedy on here at some point. If he's well enough and feeling up for it. JT, 7 days ago, thanks for all your work on the TPI podcast. As a new listener this year, you've really helped with my confidence in my decision-making process, which has led to some good returns. Keep it up. And JT, only a new listener, donated £50 and £12.50 gift aid. So thank you, JT, and hopefully your performance will continue to excel in 2024. The Root Master 8 days ago wrote, "Peter, Alex, and Henry, thanks for the time and effort you put into the TPI podcast. The sharing of knowledge and research ideas are very much appreciated. All the best, John. £10 and £2.50 gift aid." Thank you, John. Very much appreciated. Jim Walsh, that's a sturdy old name, isn't it? Jim Walsh, get in there. 8 days ago. Hi, guys. Thank you for all the work and insights this year. Season greetings to you all, and special thanks to Wheelie. Get well soon. Kind regards, Jim. Thank you, Jim. £45 and £11.25 gift aid. Much appreciated. Kevin and Joan Taylor, 10 days ago, wrote, good luck hitting your target and dropped in the kitty £100. So thank you, Kevin. He's on Twitter, Kevin Taylor. Much appreciated. And then DB wrote, Peter, Henry, and Alex, thank you for sharing the insights on the pod. I share your passion for continuous learning. This is a wonderful cause. Thank you for using this platform to do good. That's what we're trying to do here, guys. Pay it forward. £25 and £6.25 gift aid. Thank you, DB. So if you haven't donated yet, please, please help us jump over that 4,000 mark, please. We're sitting at 3,410. If X amount of you just donated £5 or £10, we will smash that 4,000 barrier over the next 2 weeks before we come back to this podcast at 118. So if you haven't donated yet and you've listened to the last 50 podcasts we've done over the past 2 years and 116 we've done before that, and you haven't donated yet, please just go to www.justgiving.com /fundraising Twin Peaks Challenge 23, and please, please, please make a donation and help some disabled children have a better 2024 than they did 2023. Thank you. Take care. And God bless you all that have donated already. Henry, what do you think of that?
Wonderful, wonderful. Honestly, thank you very much to everybody that's donated. It is absolutely in the spirit of Christmas. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, it's really, really heartwarming. You've donated what you can. It is hugely appreciated, and it's going to a fantastic cause. I mean, I know Peter occasionally puts out the odd tweet about Memphis, but if you're not on Twitter and you're listening to this, go to their website and just have a look at the pictures of those kids when they open the presents and when they have the event days, and just look at those smiles, because this money helps that to happen. It's honestly a wonderful cause. So thank you very much to everyone that's donated so far.
Absolutely spot on. I was over there last week and we had to do a little party-ish for the kids after school and before school. And they came in and we had the sensory room open and we had a Santa there and we had all a couple of, I think they had three or four little elves, in their outfits and all the rest of it. And the kids to come in and they see the room all lit up and all sorted out with presents and fake snow. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And people have been donating presents and delivering presents throughout up until, I think, up until about 2 or 3 days before Crimbo, delivering presents all around Leicestershire. So phenomenal effort by lots and lots of people and businesses as well. So we do what we can. We do what we can. Thank you all again. Henry, go for it, mate. Tell us what you've got, what next stock you've got there, mate.
So the next one, this is another UK-based company. Apologies to listeners that were expecting a US one. I've not got one this week, but this is a UK-based company, which is an alternative asset manager engaged in investing in the financial and business service sectors across private equity and private credit opportunities. Company operates in two segments, an asset manager and an investment company. It benefits from a set of asset management activities based on managing third-party assets under management and on-balance sheet investments. If you can't guess what it is, it's Pollen Street Capital. The ticker is POLN. And I came across this company. Readers of my blog in my 2023 annual review will note that I've started to talk a little bit about small cap opportunities, venture opportunities. And I started reading into these sorts of things when Jeremy Hunt started making a fuss about them, to be honest. Mainly because big managed funds, the Australian superannuation scheme or whatever, they seem to have an allocation towards these small, unlisted, high growth opportunities, and they seem to do fairly well with them. And so I started toying around and researching different ways of gaining exposure to small, high growth businesses that, aren't just AIM companies. Anybody can go on to AIM, do some research, pull out, Games Workshop or Spectra Systems or, the other half a dozen names we've all already heard. But Pollen Street Capital has got a portfolio of unlisted businesses, which are very potentially very high growth and potentially quite interesting. And I quite like the metrics of the business, if I'm honest. It's on a PE of 9, so it's not particularly expensive. It's got a dividend yield of 8.2%, which is very attractive for anybody seeking income. It's got a forecast earnings per share growth of 14%, which is very, very healthy. I think most listeners would agree that, growing earnings at 14% a year, you'd be doing all right. It's trading on a price to book value of less than one. When I looked at it, it was about 0.6, I think, 0.65, something like that. So you're not paying too much to gain exposure to these assets. And when I started looking at the portfolio of what they were invested in, there were a few things that jumped out at me. So one of the businesses they've got is a global provider of process automation software for regulated industries. So you may remember, must be 3 months back now, I talked about UiPath, deals with process automation for large corporates. Well, this business is at the other end of the spectrum and deals with process automation for smaller businesses. Again, very, very regulated, so they have to get things right. This isn't, automating cut and paste type tasks. They've got a digital payments platform. They've got a talent assessment solution in the Nordics. They've got Europe's largest digital property investment platform, BidX1, which I thought sounded like quite an interesting proposition. A little bit like, who was it we were talking about? Rightmove in the UK. Now, could this possibly be Europe's version of it? So as I started looking through the portfolio, there were a few of these names that started jumping out at me. The asset manager seems to be fairly well run. The portfolio looks quite interesting. And so I think maybe in 2024, 2025, 2026, this could be an interesting one to tuck away and see how it does.
It's one of them stocks that I've looked at before, Henry, and I think part of my sort of not jumping on board or not being overly positive about it is that it's one of those that has promised a lot, has delivered enough, but never really exploded in the sense of generating a lot of profitability or returns for investors. It's been superbly consistent, I think. Has done well for investors. It's one of them where, when a lot of volatility has been on, I mean, if you look at all the wealth management and asset management companies out there, most of them are underwater. They've had a difficult 22 and 23. Pollen Street Pollen have done okay. But I think they're all, I don't know, it's just something about that company that I've never gone, yeah, that's the one I'm going to have. Out of all of those in there, I'm going to have. Have the ones that I picked out of the asset management company groups, assets, and so on and so forth, done any better than them? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? So it's not as if I picked a better one, but it's, I don't know what it's about.
Something's
Maybe it's
put you
because
off. Well,
they've
when
got so they've got a multiple strategy approach. Maybe is what I wanted, something a bit more direct, I think. Maybe that's what it was.
would be.
So minor. Polar, obviously, I've got that, and PMI as well, Premier. But I've never ever held Pollen Street. If I was to do a graph across total returns over 5 years or 10 years, have Pollen Street outperformed them? Possibly. I don't know. I've never done that metric.
I
But
doubt it. They're quite heavily underwater from when they listed.
yeah, so I'm not sure. It's just something about them. I think if I'm trying to just whittle it right down as to why. Maybe because they weren't as direct in their investment approach, and they're going at maybe three different, four different strategies to generate revenue rather than one or two. So I'm not sure why, but I'm still not over that line yet where I go, yeah, that's one I would buy. Is it a good company? Yeah. Have they proven their worth yet? Probably not just yet. But it's nothing against them. other companies that have been longer in the tooth and more established have done appalling. You know, Liontrust, done rubbish. You know, Polar, done rubbish. Premier, done rubbish. X amount of years. So they've all had a difficult few years, small cap, large cap, ESG investing, you name it, sustainability, sustainable investing, all done bad. I said this before and I'll say it again. There will be consolidation in this space going forward. Given the market cap of Pollen and their strategies, they'll be one of the acquirers, I think, of other little bolt-on bits and pieces going forward. Would somebody come and buy them? Possibly, absolutely. But there'll be more consolidation in that space, most definitely. So we'll see. And I would like for them to surprise going forward. I'd like the ones I hold as well to surprise, to be honest with you. I'd like them all to do well in 2024. But not for me yet, for them. I'm looking at Polar to come back in 2023, 24. One more day of trading 23, but 2024, Polar to come back. Premier Miton to be involved, if not purchased by somebody else, to be honest with you, because they're too small right now. And Liontrust will probably be an acquirer, not being acquired themselves. Jupiter as well, all that space. Next 2 years, there'll be less and less and less of them because they need to increase their margins and return on investments. So yeah, good call. But if I'm going to choose pollen or a mince pie, I am choosing a mince pie, my friend.
That, if you look at the price graph, that is by far the better investment.
What, the mince pie?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Dokie. Right, thank you. Right, I'm going to leave the Twin Peaks challenge until last, and I'm going to talk about five stocks I've picked. I think Henry's got five stocks he's picked for that as well. So bear with us. Right, I'm going to this stock frustrates me so much. It was mentioned moons ago by my good friend Steve Larratt, and repeatedly by Phil Oakley, which I know Phil's going to be listening. So Merry Christmas, Phil. And it's one of them. Whenever I go shopping, and I had to go shopping with the missus over Christmas and all the rest of it, and I nipped out to do the men's day shopping. No one knows it's called that, but it's Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve. I was out shopping, folks. I was one of those lonely men going, "Oh my gosh, I've got to get all these presents now!" You
You're not
know, running
supposed
around
to
like a
admit
madman with
that
every.
on a national podcast,
Absolutely, yeah, mad days, mate, mad days. Anyway, but I was out in Oldham. I was out in Leicester. I was out in various other places throughout the year. And what do I see popping up? Even on service stations now, Henry, right? Greggs.
Yep.
Greggs. You
Yep.
know, British favourites bakery of savoury and sweet products, sausage rolls and sandwiches, donuts, cakes, you name it, they do it. And mate, I think the first time I looked at this stock, it was probably about 10 quid or 12 quid. And I was like, no, too expensive, right? Where are the shares now? 26 quid a piece, right? And I suspect from what I've seen, and other people can speak on reply to me on Twitter or reply to Henry when you see this podcast go out on Friday. How many times do you drive anywhere or go shopping or somewhere where you're not expecting, you actually see a Greggs outlet? Yeah, because they're popping up everywhere. The shares are up 11% in the last 12 months, right? No one's, well, I say no one's talking about it. People are talking about it. Price range of £22.44 to £29.14. We finished at 26.08. I think it was yesterday or today's date. One of the two prices, but there or thereabouts. Market cap is 2.7 billion. Yeah, for what was one shop many, many moons ago. P of 18. Payout ratio 45%. Mate, I'm going back to the October trading update, right? And I'm mentioning this because depending on who gets on this, I know some of you are already going to be nibbling at it, just like you did on Experian when it was mentioned by Alex, and that's gone up 20 odd percent. And one of you've mentioned the other one that you mentioned back in September, Alex, Henry, after this as well, RHIM. This trading update was going back to the 3rd of October, right? Trading, strong trading continues, inflation beginning to ease. What does that mean? their costs are coming down, folks. Yeah, their energy costs are coming down. Input costs regarding all that flour, the oil, you name it, all the heating of their shops, the paying of their staff. So, 3rd of October, total sales up 20.8% for the 13 weeks of September. Okay. More and more people are out shopping because of Christmas shopping and nipping and getting a quick snack while doing the 3-hour marathon shop for Crimbo. More people buying snacks. Okay. Company managed shops like for like sales are up 14% to September. 82 new shops were open up to September. Where are all these shops going? Right? They expected another 135 to 145 shop openings, all told, for the year of 2023. And they expect to open some more in 2024. Relentless growth here. And now, guess what, folks? They've got, or now, I say, some people tell me it's been going on forever. They've got a delivery service rolling out with Uber Eats. Can order your little Greg's sausage roll from the job
That
site
could
or the
be very
construction site
dangerous.
when you're
That
buying
could be
those houses
very
at Taylor
dangerous.
Wimpey. You get Uber Eats to just drive into the work site for you and deliver your bloody sausage roll. No time out, no driving off in the van, taking the tools with you. Uber Eats delivering to the construction site. Honestly, oh, I don't know. So all of these things, right, says to me, even at 20, 26 quid now, right, paying a little tiny little dividend, you could probably get another 10%, 15% out of Greggs in 2024. And this share could be at 30 quid, right? Which will give you another 15, 20% in 2024. And frustrates that out of me. I don't hold it. You can hear from the frustration, I don't hold it. But I think it could have another good year. And they're also selling vegetarian options as well, folks, for those of you that go, it's all about meat eaters. It's not. Yeah. And they're doing me not chocolate apparently as well, and a coffee. Click and collect, guys. Click and collect your food. Anyway, that's me done with them. But there you go. That's my stock. That's my UK stock of next year. Not my tip of the year, but I think they'll do well. Any thoughts? When was the last time you bought a Greggs, mate? When you went to Nottingham, maybe?
Probably about 2 weeks ago. I love sausage rolls. You can't keep me
There
out
you
of
go.
Greggs. I've got one down from my office, actually. I'll tell you what, there's nothing better after you've had a night out at the pub and you come in the next morning and it's all a bit ropey and you can't quite remember how to walk in a straight line than stopping off at Greggs and having, they do four sausage rolls. They've got a deal on. I forget if it's 4 for 2 quid or something. Might probably 3 quid now, but a couple of sausage rolls. Perfect. You're as bright as rain by the time the boss gets in.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code Twin Peaks. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Absolutely, mate. So that's my second stop there, mate. I don't know if you've got an extra one or you want us to get onto the Twin Peaks challenge, but I think Greg's, mate. I wish I'd bought it ages ago. I'll wait to see what happens next with it. But they've got so many
Oh,
things going on, innovating and
spot
innovating all of the time.
spot on. And I think Greggs has been one of those businesses that it's had some momentum for a while and people haven't looked at it. And I think there was someone I was chatting to the other day that was saying there's an element of snobbery about it. You know, oh, we're
Yes.
fancy city boys. We don't go to Greggs. We won't put our money in that. Well, you know, to be honest, you've missed a trick there because, like you say, it's one bagged already. Who knows how much further it could go.
Absolutely, absolutely, and
So.
in this market and the last year, it's about choosing stocks that doesn't that don't lose your money.
Yeah.
Not shooting the lights out. You're just looking for a stock that gives you 5%, 10% in the portfolio. If you've got a large enough position, it'll do your portfolio a good service. Not one of them that you've got a large exposure to that knocks you on the chin. And you feel like you've been, hit dazed and confused.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What have you got, Henry? Anything else you want to add before we go to the challenge?
Well, the only other one for me is just to mention RHI Magnesita, which you briefly mentioned. It was up 11 point something percent today. Company that I mentioned 3 months back, and somebody popped up and said, "Oh, it's in a downward channel. The technicals don't look very good." And it's up about 25% since I mentioned it. Now, I'm not going to go as far as to say it's up 25% because I mentioned it, but I think it just goes to show sometimes we can get too concerned with the technicals. It was a good quality company, and it still is a good quality company, and that's been reinforced by a company called Ignite Luxembourg, who have just purchased, I think it's a 30% stake, beginning of December. Somebody has seen some terrific value there, and the shares have responded accordingly. And meanwhile, a lot of my picks, I don't think I've got more than two or three in my portfolio that have done 25% in the whole year. So, to have 25% in 3 months, I think I'd be very happy with that. So, congratulations to anybody that pulled the trigger on it, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the validation for me is that we try to, on this particular podcast, to showcase quality companies we do not own. And even though we own quality companies ourselves and our own portfolios, some of the ones that we pick to share with you guys, ladies and gents, to research often outperform the very ones that we already own. So, and it's not about how they perform over the next week or the next month. It's about how they perform over the next 3 months, 6 months, 2 years, whatever. But to get an acceleration of 25% without it being a takeover, I think it just shows the quality of the research, Henry, on your part. So very, very well done. We'll talk about some of my picks that I did earlier on this year, which are down 25% in another podcast because they're all done well. And some of my picks have not done well, but that's the way it goes. That's why we ask you guys, ladies, to do your own research. Right. The Twin Peaks Challenge. I've got to reiterate the rules to you, ladies and gents, and qualify again. You've got until midnight on the 31st of December. So you've got 2 days after this, you're hearing this podcast essentially, to the midnight. Rules. Reply to one of the tweets that Henry puts out regarding Twin Peaks Investing Podcast 117. Add the full names of five listed FTSE or AIM stocks. Add hashtag Twin Peaks Investing Challenge, two separate words. And one entry per person, please, before midnight on December 31st, for the prizes. And a comment about the podcast if you listen to the podcast on a regular basis. And I'm asking people to subscribe to the YouTube channel, so they can maintain and monitor the progress of their own portfolio and which stocks are doing well. Because what Henry and I have had to do more recently is actually find people and try and contact people who are not regular listeners to say, by the way, you've listened to the podcast, you've won the prize for the month. Running the podcast again, obviously, this is what I'm giving you the clues about for the challenge for 2024. And subscribe to YouTube, subscribe to Spotify or whatever platforms you listen to. Maintain an update regarding the five that you, stocks that you've picked. If one of your stocks get taken over or gets kicked out of AIM, we'll give you the opportunity to buy another stock if it gets delisted or if it gets taken over. I suspect some stocks are going to get taken over. Thus far, poor old Henry is going, I've got entries coming out of my ears. I suspect we're going to get some more, Henry, over the next couple of days, because lastminute.com individuals will be sending us some stocks. I'm going to mention three stocks here that keep getting mentioned repeatedly. I'm not going to go into details about them. I'm not saying that these are the best three stocks that have been mentioned, but they seem quite popular regarding some of our entrants so far. And I'll do them in alphabetical order. One's a Vector, ticker symbol AVCT, and they are essentially a therapeutic and diagnostic platform co. The next one is Creo Medical, I mentioned recently, surgical endoscopy, and Destiny Pharma. Lots of people seem to be very, very keen on Destiny Pharma, ticker symbol DEST, and got phase three coming up with XF73. And essentially, it's their leading antibacterial drug for C. diff, etc. So, lots of pharma plays that could multibag. Equally, phase three doesn't happen. I think the ratio for phase three trials are about 17% for passing. So, that's quite low. Should do exceptionally well if they all do well. And it's all about endpoints and execution by the management. So, three stocks to look out for. That have been chosen by quite a few people already in the Twin Peaks challenge. So get your five stocks in, folks. Midnight 31st. That'll be the cutoff, and then we'll put it all together for you, and we'll be talking about the first winner of January in the Feb podcast. Thus far, we're going to be looking for a price per month from ShareScope. And one year subscription to ShareScope at the end of the year, as we did last year. And we'll also be looking for prizes for some other income, other individuals, including books, because we want people to be educated about investing. Some of you have already chosen Phil Oakley's book in the past, How to Pick Quality Shares, etc., and Four Ways to Beat the Market by our good friend Algie Hall and others. So we'll get hopefully be able to give you the opportunities to win. One of those again in 2024, if we get support from Harriman House. Henry, do you want to talk about your five stocks that you've picked, mate? And I'll talk about mine afterwards.
Yeah,
Or have you got your
absolutely.
five? Have you whittled it down to what you're going to go? We can't,
I've
by the
got
way,
my
we
five.
Henry and I and Alex will not be able to win a prize. We just participate in the show, how rubbish we are at selecting five stocks as well as everybody else.
It's picking five, it's picking a winning five we've got a problem with. I
Oh
can count to five.
that's what I'm missing. That's the secret. Yeah.
So
I'm just in it for participating, mate. That's all.
in keeping with the whole long-term investing strategy, I've kept two of the picks I put in for 2023 and picked three new ones. I own all five of these. I've got stakes in them. I've had stakes in all of them for an extended period of time, i.e. more than a year, one of them. But yeah, I know them all pretty well. First one is Team Internet Group, which used to be called Central Nick. They develop software platforms for the distribution of domain names and offer a full service suite of online marketing and online presence solutions. My second pick is Warehouse REIT. The ticker is WHR. I think we all know what they do. They own and operate, sorry, they own and rent out last mile warehousing in the UK. My third pick is Central Asia Metals. The ticker is CAML. They are a producer of copper, lead, zinc, and silver from mines in Kazakhstan and North Macedonia. My fourth pick is TP ICAP. Ticker is TCAP. They are a UK-based electronic market infrastructure and information provider. They're the most recent addition to my portfolio in real life. They've been with me less than a year. And my fifth and final pick is the City of London Investment Group. The ticker is CLIG. They're an asset manager. So I'm hoping that these five do well for me in 2024. I've got a feeling interest rates might give a bit of a boost to a few of them. Some of them have got good momentum and they're all operating very well. So we'll see how they do. Bring it on, guys.
Bring it on, says Henry. Okie dokie. No, I like those, Henry. I'm still cautious about those miners that are in politically sensitive areas. So of the ones you've got in there, I'd be a little bit like, oh, Central Asia camel. And people say, well, they're all right, they're not so bad. But anyway, I don't know. Don't know about them lot. But yeah, like those. Okie doke. I've got one miner in here, but I've had it for ages. I say miner, it's trying to get into mining. It's doing its best best it can. It's sorting out all its assets. It's getting partners in. And we're looking at producing some lithium in the next couple of years if they can get all the ducks lined up, as they say. And that is, of course, Atlantic Lithium, ticker symbol ALL, ALL. A stock that I recently bought that's done exceptionally well. Talk about multi-bagging. It's already multi-bagged already in a short space of time, 5 6 months. Good energy. I think we're going to still need some to keep the lights on, a bit of gas, electric, bit of supporting people to fuel up, use solar as well as wind and so on and so forth. And they've got this Zap Map going on as well. I think they might do something with that, generate some revenue from that, hopefully, although it's been loss making. So we'll see what happens with that. So that's good. Ticker symbol GOOD as my second one. And then I've got three that are quasi AI related. Beazley Insurance, or Beazley per se, Beazley Group, InsurTech and insurance essentially, but they've got their eyes and paws all over all things tech related regarding insurance. So that's one I own as well. And the little tiddler that's getting involved in fintech ESG regarding the tools and companies basically saying they're involved in ESG solutions and all the rest of it, proofing that. And they've got a relationship with the UN, they've got relationships with the bank, they've got a relationship with FCA. I'm hoping to generate some revenue in 2024 and boost things going on to 2025. And that's INSIG AI, ticker symbol INSG, which I also own. And then my quantum computing play, which I've held for a number of years now, which I suspect should get a bit more attention from the US companies in 2024. And that's Oxford Instruments, OXIG. So I'm hoping that they'll have a less sleepy year in 2024 and accelerate a lot higher than they have done, given that they are one of our AI plays in the UK. And there's not many of them about, to be honest with you, of that sort of size or more. So I'm hoping that Oxford Instruments get a bit of a, what we call in up north, a touch, in 2024. So that's my five. Beazley, Instig AI, Oxford Instruments, Good Energy, and ALL Atlantic Lithium. That's my five. Any thoughts, Henry? Which would you go?
Interesting
Nah, not going anywhere
picks.
near that one.
Beazley is a very interesting name. INSIG AI, I'm not sure where that's going to go. That's a very, very small name. I mean, in theory, it could go to the moon. You could be a billionaire if you own that. If you need a butler, you know
Well,
where I
mate, if it flies, if something happens, I mean, the thing is, I say this to people. People go, "Oh, look at this contract. Look at that contract." I'm going, "What's the value of the contract? Yeah, what's the margins on that contract? Yeah, how long will it take them to actually get that to hit the metrics that get them to pay out on that contract?" It's meaningless. Half these contracts are meaningless until you generate revenue from it. So I'm waiting for INSIG to actually say, "We've got this contract. It's worth this much, and we're going to make this much." And if they say that in 2024, the share price will should do well. If they keep saying they've got this and got that, and there's no numbers next to it, I'm like, yeah, whatever. And you've got to, this is what I keep saying to people. When you're analyzing stocks you don't own, you critique it to the yin yang, right? You can find even where they've not put an apostrophe. Yeah. Do the same with your own stocks, folks. Yeah. Critique the stocks that you own and say it on Twitter, I'm not happy with this. Yeah, because. Don't just look it through your own stocks with rose-tinted glasses. Look at the stocks that you own, right? And critique them accordingly as you would a stock you do not own. And I tell you what, your performance will accelerate over the next 3, 4, 5 years. You will not be sitting there with a portfolio 3 years on, 4 years on, sitting in deficit if you critique your stocks as well as you critique the stocks you don't own.
Yep.
Trust me on this. Yeah. Want to get improve? You want to improve as an investor? Hammer the stocks that you own and hammer the management that of the companies that you own as much as you do the stocks you don't own. And I tell you what, you'll do much better than you are doing now. And this is what I'm saying about the stocks. I'm looking at Atlantic Lithium. I'm going, guys, stop putting out all these RNSs. Let's just go quiet until we've got something really good to say, and let the stock and the revenue and the deals and the partnerships and how much lithium you're digging out of the ground, let that speak for itself. We don't need to hear from you every fortnight. Yeah, just let the company do its let it do its business. Right,
Well,
that's enough of me having a rant. Sorry.
Atlantic Lithium, I've just pulled it up and looked at the forecast, and it's not, if these figures are right, it's not forecast to have any revenue till 2025, according to analysts. But it's such a small business that I don't know how accurate that is. I don't know if this is one bloke in his garden shed that's put out the forecast, or whether it's, Bloomberg that's put it out.
They've got a large team of people, mate, including some senior geologists and teams. They've got a fantastic team of people at the moment. And a year, 18 months from now, 2 years from now, if they, it's all about execution, Henry. Yeah, I do the research on these tiddlers, and other people do the research, and it's then about execution of, yeah.
Yep.
Partner up with
They've
that
got to
person.
follow
Partner,
through
get the
correctly.
stuff. Get the stuff out of the ground, and get it into these endpoints. We're going to have a deficit of lithium. Yes, so we're going to need it. Oh, you're going to have a great price for it in 2024, 25, 26, 27. Oh, that's great. Get it done. Stop talking about it. Just get it done. You know, when it's 1 pound a share, everyone's going to be talking about it.
Yep.
Yeah, but until then, it's a high risk thing. Would I say to everybody, go out there and buy Atlantic Lithium? Absolutely. You know, and do your own research. And no matter how, if I'm talking about it and saying it's going to do great, it means nothing. Yeah, it means nothing. Do not risk your own money on anyone else's hearsay or thoughts or da-da-da-da or ramping the same stock every couple of days. Just ignore them. Do your own research, buy stock, and having done your own research, take the risk that you're willing to take with your own money, not someone else's hearsay on a stock. Please don't do that in 2024. Have a look back at 21, 22, 23. All the stocks you bought that didn't deliver, and ask yourself, how much of my own research did I do on those stocks that cost me my hard-earned money or savings? And I think you'd be shocked at how much little research you did on them yourself. Do more research yourself and find your own ideas yourself, and you'll do much better.
100%
Right, where do you
agree.
want to close, Henry?
I think other than to wish our listeners a very happy new year when it arrives in a few days, thank you for your support throughout 2023. Thank you for your donations. Thank you for entering the competition in 2023 and in 2024. And again, I will just ask that if you do enter the competition, please don't be a stranger throughout the year. I was looking through the competition list for 2023 today of all the entrants. We had 170 near enough, maybe slightly more. I don't think even 10% of those come back on a regular basis and comment on either YouTube or Twitter. You entered originally, you were listening, you were entered, you had the enthusiasm then, and then disappear, and it's a shame because we do love to hear from you wherever you are in the world. Wherever you are on your investing journey, do write in. Send us a message, send us a like, follow us, subscribe, share it. Because we are trying to build an audience, and we are trying to build a community of investors that all learn together. And the more of us that are commenting and the more of us that are sharing ideas, the better off we all are. So please don't be a stranger in 2024. Everybody's ideas are valuable, everybody's thoughts are welcomed. And we look forward to hearing from you. We genuinely do.
Brilliant. Well, very well said. And I'll reiterate that. Thank you all for your support in 2023. It's been a roller coaster. We've got to say again a big thank you to at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter, who was here with us at the start of the year. and we may or may not see him visit us in 2024, depending on his health. We wish him well. We await to see Alex come back in 2024 as well. We're going to have some more guests for you in 2024, and a few different iterations of some other things I've spoken about, and I will talk about this a bit more going forward about some of the other free sort of initiatives we're going to do, new sort of things we're going to add on to this podcast to enhance it for you, ladies and gents. And just to say, we will keep delivering. We will keep bringing you new ideas, and hopefully you can then make some good investment returns from them. Just wanted to thank Henry again. It's just him and I again. So thank you again, Henry, for your support. Thank you for staying off the booze while you've been on this one. until later on, have your wine later on. We'll get this out for you guys, ladies. And just to wish you an absolutely fantastic end of year celebrations and a fantastic 2024. Just stay healthy as best you possibly can and do what you can to support Memphis Charity with any donations you can make. And we'll have a charity for Henry in the next podcast we'll tell you about as well. And we'll be announcing the winner of the whole competition of the Twin Peaks Challenge for 2023 in the next podcast, as well as the winner for the month of December. Wish you all best of luck. Get your entries in for the 31st midnight, and we'll crack on. All right, folks, take care. God bless you all, and thank you all for your support. Bye bye. I wish you happy.